would open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. And chapter number 3. In verse number 14, it says, But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you so much for this time again together in your word. We ask you, Lord, to bless the preaching of it, to honor you, and Lord, to sanctify yourself in our hearts, that Father, we might be ready with an answer for every man of that hope, God, which you have instilled in us through your word and your grace supplied through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I thought upon that verse, you know, I've had people ask me in the past, you know, the Catholics find out I'm a Catholic, and they ask me why I left the Catholic Church. And I was thinking about this verse. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I thought that it would be best for me to make it plain, first of all, that I do not hate any Catholics on the face of the earth. I am not here to bash Catholics or bash the Catholic Church. All right? But at the same time, I must sanctify the Lord God in my heart. He must be the king. He must be the ruler. And I'm going to take a few Sunday afternoons, and I'm going to give the reasons why I left the Catholic Church. Just share with you the things that God dealt with me about before I came to salvation. And I remember, as a child growing up in the Catholic Church, that they taught me that it was a sinful thing for me to go to someone else's church, that it was wrong for me to listen to anybody on the radio who wasn't a Catholic talking about the Bible. And I was content with that until I became a teenager. And I met this Catholic person who said that Catholics never read the Bible. And they started encouraging me to read the Bible. Well, naturally, I thought, well, you know, I'm reading the Bible. But, of course, as you realize that, you know, the lost person doesn't understand the Word of God. And so, as I was reading the Bible and trying to understand it, I found that I was at a loss. And so, I did something that was treacherous. I turned on the radio and listened to one of those radio preachers. Well, let me tell you, the first thing that I heard, I wasn't listening for hours, okay? You got to understand this. I turned the radio on. I dialed in the station. And this guy read this verse, okay, Matthew chapter 23. Again, understand, I was not laboring to find these things. I turned on the radio, and this is what I heard. Matthew 23. Verse number 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. Be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. As he read that verse, I was immediately drawn to verse number 9. It says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. The first reason that I left the Catholic Church was because of the Father issue. The Father issue. Now, if you're not familiar with the Catholics and Catholic doctrine and such, if you go to a Catholic church, they will have a man there who is called a priest. All right? And there are other aspects of the priesthood that I'll talk about later. But right now, we're just talking about the title. When you address a priest at a Catholic church, if you're a Catholic, if his name is Smith, you'd call him Father Smith. You'd call him Father Smith. All right? Now, this is not father in the term of begetting someone. All right? That's not what the term is. Paul, when he is in 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 4, he said, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Here Paul is not calling himself, wanting them to call him their father. He is simply saying that he was the source. He was the one who brought them to Christ. And in that sense, he refers to himself as their father, but not as their heavenly father, not as their spiritual father, but simply as one who was used. He is using the metaphor because he thinks of them as sons to a father. In Matthew chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that brings forth not fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. He said, don't say to yourself, we have Abraham to our father. We're not talking about the word father being used in the terms of prior generations, sires, as it were, where they're calling Abraham their father. You know, Abraham was born hundreds of years before this incident took place. They're simply referring to him as a patriarch in their lineage. But that is not the term that father carries in the Catholic Church. When I've talked with Catholics about this, they have said, well, it's just a term of respect. But Jesus said that you're not to give that term of respect to anyone but him. If it is a term of respect, it belongs to God, who is my heavenly Father. I have a Father in heaven. There is no father like that father on earth. And this was one of the first things that caused me to question the doctrine of the Catholic Church. He said, call no, and I, you know, again, I was lost. And when I read that verse, I knew what it meant. The only time that this doesn't make sense is if you're trying to make it mean something else. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of Catholics will do. Because they don't want to face the truth that that man who is there every Sunday is not worthy to be called Father. He's not a spiritual father. I have one father. Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes, said, you're a father of the devil. And the works of your father you will do. He is a liar from the beginning and the father of it. Okay? There again, that same term, that spiritual term of father. I have only one spiritual father. And he's in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. It's the same term. One of the reasons why I left the Catholic Church. Because after this, every time I'd go to the church and I would address the priest, every time I would say, Father such and such, this verse would come into my mind. And I'd think, this isn't right. I'm not doing right. Father. Like I say, if you talk with a Catholic and you ask them about this, they will say it's a term of respect, but you have to ask, what kind of respect are they giving them? They're not talking about one who begot them in the faith in an allegorical sense. They're not calling him an allegorical father. They're not talking about a genealogical father. It can only be a spiritual father. You understand that? And if that's the case, call no man your father. Matter of fact, if you read it in context, they're talking about they want greetings in the marketplace to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. They want the title, Rabbi, Master. They want the title, Father. But he said, he who is greatest among you will be your servant, not your father. I have one Father, and that's God. One Father. As you go on, there'll be more things that we get into that as I began to follow this, I began to track my knowledge of Catholic doctrine, which I have a great knowledge of Catholic doctrine. I was a good Catholic. All right, I went every Sunday to church. I was at Mass all the time. I was an altar boy till I was 18. And when I talk to Catholics and I tell them what Catholic doctrine is, sometimes some of them question me. I say, well, you go ask your priest. And he'll tell you. And when they go and ask him, they find out I'm right. I had a priest come in. We had a priest come in once a week. From the time I was in first grade to the time I was in eighth grade, a priest would come in once a week and he would teach us Catholic doctrine. I know Catholic doctrine. I know what this term Father is. Tell me, who else would you give that appellation to? Is there anybody else in the world that you would call your spiritual father? There's not. Then why should I call this man such? He is just a man after all. He's not my spiritual father. I encourage you. I can take a Bible and I can show people why I believe what I believe. So the Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give every man an answer of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I encourage you to think about what brought you to Christ. What it was. What were the events? What were the things that you heard that brought you to Christ? You may say, well, I was saved at a young age, and I never went a whole lot. I heard it. I just heard the gospel. Well, that's good enough. Somewhere in the gospel, you realized you didn't know Jesus. You need to see that, and you need to be able to take somebody in the Bible and say, see, this is why I knew. I need to be saved. It's going to be simple. Because the gospel's simple. But be ready to give an answer. You may not have come from another denomination, so to speak. But your salvation in Christ is as real as anyone else's. And your testimony is the greatest thing you have to tell people about coming to Christ. Your own testimony. Your own testimony. I encourage you, as we go through these, now some will be a little more involved than the one tonight. This is a pretty simple one. I chose it because I know everybody's been watching everybody all morning going like this. So I knew in the afternoon you'd still be going like this, you know. So I chose something simple. But I encourage you, as we're doing this, begin to develop in your own heart and mind an understanding of how you came to Christ. Your testimony. And I would encourage you to do one thing further. As you do that, I would encourage you, if you have to write it down, that's fine. But I would encourage you to turn your testimony into something active and allow us to record it and put it on the website. I got a section on there called videos. It gets a lot of hits from people. People want to see videos. Wouldn't you like for someone to see your testimony of how you came to Christ? You never know. It might be something that changes their life. All I did was turn on the radio, and some guy read a verse, and I was started on a path to salvation. You could be used that same way. You say, oh, mine's not very dramatic. If it changed your life, it's dramatic. If it saved your soul, that's dramatic. It's just dramatic. To be born again. Little Sarah. Come up. One, tell everybody she got saved. Little 5-year-old little girl. But she wanted to let everybody know. How simple is it? Do you not have the courage of a 5-year-old? You know, they have that show. Are you smarter than a 5th grader or 8th grader or whatever? Are you braver than a 5-year-old? Amen. You got no more to lose than she did. I encourage you. Think about it. Set it down. Set it down in writing. And if you want to just read it, we'll put it in cue cards. You can be like Obama. We'll have a teleprompter for you. And you can just read it and we'll record it. If you want to just say it, that's okay too. But I encourage you to do it. It's an opportunity. Now you understand, I'm giving you an opportunity to have an impact on some soul for Christ by simply putting your testimony on something that people look at all over the world, the internet, so they can know that you've been born again and how they can too. Now don't miss that opportunity. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet for just a few minutes.